We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn, sitting in for David Inge. Today we open the phone lines and the email message folder for questions about diet and nutrition and well-being. We've taken this topic from the Afternoon Magazine and moved it to Focus, and we'll revisit the topic once a month here on Focus. My guest in this portion of the program is Susan Kundrot, and eventually we'll be joined by a second guest. This morning, Susan Kundrot is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She's an adjunct lecturer with the University of Illinois Food Science and Human Nutrition Department. She is also a sports dietitian for Illini Athletics, and she leads nutrition and cooking classes at the Activities and Recreation Center on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You'll find Susan on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. Listeners, join us with a telephone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And just entering the studio is our second guest this morning on Focus, Jamie Kleiss. She is the unit educator for health and wellness for Champaign County Extension. She's an organizing force behind an effort also to get county residents up and moving. It's called Moonwalk, and we'll hear more about that today. Jamie is also very involved in 4-H youth development. Again, questions about diet, nutrition, health, and wellness are invited. The phone numbers 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address will-talk@illinois.edu. Susan, welcome.
Well, good morning. It's good
morning.
To be here this morning.
And it's nice to see you in the morning.
That's right. Yes. We've made the switch. I think we're doing okay.
I think we are. I think we'll be just fine. And Jamie Kleiss is with us this morning as well. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning.
And you're just fresh from a class, huh?
I had two classes at King Elementary in Urbana, so I literally ran over here.
Yeah. So what were you talking with the students about today?
Today they made breakfast parfaits, we call them, and it was strawberry yogurt with fresh strawberries and granola. So we talk about the whole grain in the granola. We talk about how to cut strawberries. That's a whole foreign concept mm-hmm. to a lot of little kids is how to cut. So we actually really? Do about a 5-minute safety lesson in how
That's
to cut
good.
Them.
And along the way, some information about nutrition?
We do. And then we did calcium in that and in the yogurt. We talk about having 3 food groups per snack.
Excellent.
And so it's real basic information. I get a half an hour per class, and then we teach through the cooking. And so I just left there, and they were all excited about, oh, I can add this fruit or bananas or this kind of yogurt. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. Information is power.
You bet. It's great when the kids get a hands-on chance to do that, and they're just so much more apt to eat it again.
Well,
if
exactly.
They do that.
And they were so excited. And I say, okay, guys, your thank you to me is to go home, tell your moms and dads and families that this recipe in your bag is what you made today, and tell them that you liked it. That's the whole point. And I said, so if you want blueberries, maybe if you go to the store, you could pick them out.
Right.
It's all about enabling them to have choices and make them healthy choices.
Yeah. Well, this is Focus, and we're talking about diet, nutrition, health, and wellness this morning. Listeners, you can join us this morning with questions, comments, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, Susan, one of the things that you suggested we might want to talk about today is salt. And I hope, Jamie, if you want to join in, please feel free. But you want to give us a little information about salt?
So. Well, it's actually a good time to think about salt and sodium and how that affects our health. There was a review that came out recently, a meta-analysis. So that's where they take a look at many, many studies and try to put it all together and figure out, especially from a public health standpoint, what that tells us. And a recent meta-analysis looked at 13 big studies on blood pressure and lowering blood pressure. And, of course, that's a big issue for Americans, because we know that if you have higher blood pressure, that contributes, of course, to heart disease and kidney disease and all kinds of things. And this particularly looked at salt intake. And, you know, we hear a lot about salt intake and trying to cut our sodium down to, you know, 2,300 milligrams, or what's equal to about a teaspoon of salt a day, and how to do that. And there's been some quite a bit of renewed interest in looking at restaurants. And, of course, there's a big push now to get nutrition analysis from restaurant foods on the menus, mm-hmm. and looking at sodium. And some companies have started decreasing sodium by a third or so in their products, which is really good. But I think an important thing that's come out of this meta-analysis, just sort of a reminder to us that, first of all, we're probably eating a ton more sodium than we need. The average intake for females in the U.S. is about, for adult women, is about 3,000 milligrams. Adult males is 4,000 milligrams. And so we're trying to get it down to around 2,000 milligrams in general. And in many of these reviews, actually, they brought it down to more like 1,500 milligrams and saw a great decrease, not only in blood pressure, but in heart disease and related problems in general. And so I think, just as a reminder, looking at sodium intake, it's a good time because, of course, we are fortunate, those of us who live around this area and even the Chicago area, that there are so many more farmers markets available. And really the main thing that I think is so important with salt and with sodium is to try to do our best to make food, just like you were mm-hmm. talking about, you know, teaching kids how to make things. And I work a lot with our college athletes and college students and doing more and more cooking classes and helping them understand how to put quick things together. But also the importance of eating more fruits and vegetables, which are high in potassium, high in fiber. But we need to increase our potassium, and that's mm-hmm. mostly from fruits and veggies and dairy products, and then decrease our sodium, our processed foods. And so, again, not only does it affect blood pressure, but we know now that a higher sodium diet, we're finding a lot of studies indicating that it really does affect just the integrity of the arteries, meaning that it may not, you know, you may not even have high blood pressure, but if you're taking in a high salt diet or high sodium diet, you may be causing problems in your arteries and causing damage, which might make it easier for cholesterol to build up. And in the past, I think our initiative with sodium was saying, hey, if you've got high blood pressure, we need to cut the salt down. Most people will respond to that. And also look at blood pressure medications, lose some weight, exercise more, all those things which are still really important. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people out there who may not have high blood pressure, but it appears that the salt, the high salt intake, is really affecting their arteries and, of course, making it harder on the kidneys and maybe having an effect with osteoporosis. We may not absorb calcium as well in a high salt diet. So there are a lot of other things that are going on, which kind of renews the interest in everybody taking a look at what they're doing diet-wise, not just those with high blood pressure.
Let's take a call. We've got a listener waiting for us in Paris, Illinois, on line 4. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. Monosodium glutamate is not very good for us, is it?
Well, it's another form of sodium, and it's used as a seasoning or as a preservative.
Yes.
But, yes, it is sodium, too.
Yes. But isn't it detrimental anyway? I was looking at my chicken soup in the can, and it has sodium glutamate in it. Now, one of my favorite recipes calls for chicken soup and rice and chicken, and it's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I can substitute for the chicken soup that would also be tasty, have a strong taste like chicken soup does, cream of chicken soup?
Well, there are things you can substitute, and feel free to chime in, Jamie, because you may know some things too. But whenever you're using a cream soup, which cream soups, I mean, they work great in so many recipes because they give you some flavor, they give you that creamy consistency.
Yeah.
But many times what we can do is use things like, say, yogurt, which does have some sodium, but not nearly as much as those cream soups, and add things like fresh herbs, add some chopped onions to that, maybe add even...
What kind of herbs?
You could add any herbs you want. You could add parsley or dill or basil or any type of herb that you want. That basically, whenever we're cutting down sodium, we want to add the flavor somewhere. Maybe you add more pepper, you add more cayenne, you add more fresh onions or garlic or things like that. And then you still need that creaminess that soup provides. So just a plain yogurt can work really well in some of those recipes. And then maybe you add a little salt, but it's not nearly as much.
I don't know. I don't cook. I kind of leave salt aside.
Sure, sure.
I get enough from these other things. But do you feel that the most monosodium glutamate would be a bad thing to have to in the just the soup? It's just in the soup.
Right. Well, that brings up a good point. When you're adding other things to it, obviously you're diluting out the amount of sodium. What I might start with, if I were going to take that recipe myself, I would use half the canned soup. So you're still getting some of that flavor. You're still getting half the sodium. And I'd replace, maybe you've got, 6 ounces of the soup, or if it's an 8-ounce can you've got 4 ounces that you use of the soup. Add 4 ounces of plain non-fat yogurt. Add in a little bit more pepper. Add in some spices or some chopped onion. And that way what you've done is you cut the sodium in half.
Yeah.
But you still have some of that flavor and consistency from the product. And I don't, MSG or monosodium glutamate for some people is more problematic. It can cause headaches. It can cause other things. But if it doesn't bother you, it's just another form of sodium, basically. So what the key would be maybe cut that in half for starters.
It's not a bad thing in itself.
Well, in itself, it's. I wouldn't say it's a good thing, but I would say it's one way that we get sodium. And so if you're not particularly problematic with that, then I wouldn't say don't ever use canned soup. I would just say, hey, can you cut that down a little bit? In your recipe, if you have your chicken and your rice.
Put yogurt in it, and would you repeat something else?
Yes.
If I'm cutting down the soup, half of it.
Right.
I should put in yogurt, and what else?
I would put in yogurt, and then I would add any type of herbs or spices that you want. Maybe if you like garlic, chop up some extra garlic.
Yeah, I do like garlic. Okay, garlic in.
Right, you could put garlic in. You could add extra pepper. You could chop up a green pepper and put that in.
What? Green pepper. Green pepper.
Green
That's
pepper.
That's always good.
Yeah, that would be good in there. And then you can look at, are there other ways you can bump up the veggies in that? Because that dilutes the amount of sodium per serving, so... Maybe you have your rice, your chicken, your soup.
Yeah, rice. The rice isn't part of the recipe.
Okay, so you've got that. And then I might think about adding in, could you add in some chopped broccoli to that? Or could you
Broccoli?
Sure, broccoli would be great. So what you're looking at now is when you actually have a serving of that, you've cut your sodium in half, plus you bumped up other nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was a really good recipe. Now it's a super recipe because you've boosted nutrition and cut your sodium in half.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, there was one more question that I'd like to ask.
Okay.
A long time ago, you talked about having dried beans, serving them. And you said, and put in spices. And you never mentioned the spices. What can I put in with? I like beans.
Mm-hmm.
And I add them with two vegetables lots of times.
That's perfect.
Some of my beans with other vegetables. Okay, what kind of spices would you cook with dried beans?
Well, I tend to be crazy about garlic, I'll have to say, because it is so good for you and so easy, and I just love the flavor. So,
well, I do, too. I like garlic.
Oh, you're in great shape then. So what you could do is add, cook the beans, soak them overnight. That's the best way because you're not adding salt.
That's what I do.
And then cook the beans, but add garlic. I always add garlic and onions, and maybe even add something like cumin to that would be really good,
Oh, I never thought about that.
Sure.
That sounds good.
Add extra pepper and cook them so they have some flavor in there, too. And then, it works really well. I really like parsley and beans. So you could certainly put parsley in there at the end.
Do you buy the parsley already dried, or do you grow your own?
Well, I do all. I grow my own. I purchase it fresh at the store, and I also use dried. The more herbs, the better. And so if you could add in, the fresh is great, obviously, because it's just so good for you. But dried parsley is helpful, too. But you could add that in, too. So what you've got is, spicy beans, but you've got some green in there. And then add that in, like you say, for your two vegetables. That's a perfect meal.
Mm-hmm. It is. If you take beans and maybe rice, brown rice, that is a perfect protein.
That's
already
great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have to try to modify that recipe and then call back sometime, that chicken soup recipe, and tell us how it is. I'll try it at home, too.
Chicken soup does make give it a very good flavor. It does.
Yeah. Well, the best.
But maybe half will do just as well.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Okay, well.
And thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Call us next month and tell us how things worked out. Here on the program on diet and nutrition, we're going to do this program once a month on Focus. This is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn sitting in for David Inge. We're talking about diet and nutrition, health and wellness this morning. Listeners, you can join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Jamie, you got any thoughts on reworking recipes?
You know, it's interesting. I'm a Facebooker, of course, and our work is on there. 4-H is on there. Moonwalk's on there. And actually, that my IT guy who works on campus, who did our Moonwalk website, watched the Jamie Kennedy show, and I've only caught a portion of it, but it was interesting. He goes, his Facebook status was, I challenge all of you. Jamie challenged me through the TV, and I'm challenging my Facebook friends. Me and my wife have made a commitment to do one meal a week with totally unprocessed food.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, wow, that's such a small, simple thing that has huge implications from it.
Right.
So obviously it stuck in my head that he put this on there. He put it on there maybe 2 days ago, mm-hmm. after he watched the show, he watched it on Hulu and told everybody about it. But I thought, what a very simple thing. He has a small child, and I know he tries to get mm-hmm. him involved, but one meal that has no processed food. So it goes in the whole thing about adding more fruits and vegetables in and cutting out some of that stuff and going from there. I just thought that was just
right.
It did. And I think he's going to
so
find how
too.
Easy it's easy. Going to be. And I think that's going to be really neat.
Okay. Well, this is Focus, and this is also our membership week on WILL. During this week, we're taking some time to ask you, our listeners, to contribute to WILL. We use your contributions along with contributions from businesses and foundations to pay the costs of staying on the air. But it all starts with you. Listeners provide the most important part of the money we need to stay on the air. Jack Brighton is our Director of Internet Services, and he's with me this morning in the studio. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Celeste. Good
We're talking to see you. About Facebook and, boy, social media, so important.
Yes.
The internet, so important.
And unprocessed food. I love that. You know, we're unprocessed here at WILL. And we do actually need your support. This is the time we come to you every once in a while to give you the phone number, 244-9455, to call to make a pledge to support this service, to support Celeste and Susan and all the people who come on the show to give you great advice, information, all kinds of resources. And so this is the time to do that. You can also go to our website, willpledge.org. We try to maintain that website the best we can. We have archives galore of all the shows that we put on the air. They also go on the website. So a lot of people take advantage of that. If you use that service, we appreciate your supporting it. Again, 217-244-9455 is the pledge line, or you can go to willpledge.org and make a contribution. And we should mention, we're talking about food. You can put food in our Chico bag. You know, these shopping bags we see more and more in the grocery stores mm-hmm. that people are using instead of plastic and paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want paper or plastic? Well, neither. I've got a Chico bag, and it has WILL printed on it. So if you'd like to get the Chico bag, $52 pledge, that's $1 a week, right?
Right.
So you can just go to our pledge line again, 217-244-9455, $1 a week, $52 a year, you get the Chico bag.
Okay, 244-9455, or give online at willpledge.org. Also online at our website, will.illinois.edu, you'll find a whole wealth of resources, including some of our engagement efforts, and we're going to talk about, I hope, this morning before we're finished, CU Fit Families, Champaign-Urbana Fit Families. A really fascinating and exciting development in the community, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning as well. Jack, thanks so much for stopping in, and we'll check back with you in a little while.
Thanks, Celeste.
Okay, 244-9455, the number to call with a pledge of financial support, or give online at willpledge.org. www.will.org. Let's take a call now from a listener waiting for us this morning in McLean County. Hello.
Good morning. I have a comment and a request, or maybe even a question. One of them is about to the extension person. I was trying to call while you were talking about the Facebook, if you want to kind of tell us how to get to your space or Facebook. But the comment is that it would be worth having what spices go with what foods on a website somewhere, because a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, and either one of you guys or any of you answer this question, I was raised with beans, and beans do not taste like beans without having some salt in it. So, you know, is there any other options? Or probably, for me, there probably aren't, but what else you can do to make them taste decent instead of tasting like plain starch? Anyway, go ahead and start with that, and then I have another question. But yogurt, then I will hang up. Yogurt, when you cook yogurt, doesn't it curdle easily?
Well, I use yogurt a lot in recipes, and I don't generally have a problem with that. And it might be the amount you use and all that, but I certainly substitute it when I'm baking and when I'm using it in things like casseroles, and I don't find a problem with that. I don't know if anybody else has had problems with that, or so it seems like it works okay. I would say mostly I use it in baking. You know, in recipes and brownies and things like that to cut out some of the fat, mm-hmm. too. And, of course, you wouldn't see it curdle in there. But I haven't had problems when I've mixed it some with other liquid or creamy type things and baked with that.
You have to be extra careful. Not that you can't do it, because there are some Indian dishes that, you know,
mm-hmm.
we make. And they, you know, you have to really watch it, or else it'll curdle on you. And when it separates, then it doesn't, you know.
Sure.
Good, or it tastes the same, but it doesn't look as good, actually. But anyway, and how about the beans? And is there anywhere to get the spices? I mean, and I hate to hate to say this, but we live in the Midwest. We don't eat very many spicy foods, unless we are getting used to it. There are a lot more people eating, you know, Thai food and Chinese food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But how to put spices with, you know, different things, because not everything goes with everything, you know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, and any ideas, Jamie? Are there some places you would recommend our listener turn to for some information on how to pair different beans and different spices?
You got my wheels turning over here. I'm thinking if Extension actually has anything, because I know we have Fiesta of a Flavor on our website.
Mm-hmm.
That's on our state website, and then we usually link to that from our individual unit websites. And I'm wondering if Extension might have something on there. We actually have a lot of nutrition and health information. Mm-hmm. We have a whole site for people with diabetes to go to. So I'm wondering if we might actually have something on the Extension site.
Yeah. Also, there are plenty of at the library. You can
sure.
go and you can find a book. You can find books on beans, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, from salads to soups to stews,
sure.
to, you know, all manner of things. And you, well, Susan, you even did a brownie dish.
Oh, yes.
Brownies with beans.
With beans, mm-hmm. yes. They're, and one
I've
place
had them. I've actually had them, yes.
One place I'd recommend, too, is there's a National Dry Bean Board, and there are also state bean boards, actually, believe it or not, online. And so even if you went in and searched for bean board and spices, I'm sure there would be, you know, some ideas there. And I think, if I recall, McCormick Spices might have some good information on their
okay.
website on which spices to use
mm-hmm.
with different foods. But that would also be something we could easily put together, a guide or a sheet, and put it up online. So, you know, why don't we just plan to do that? And
okay.
I will garner the help of my interns to put that together, and we could just put that on the WILL site. So we'll work on that and get that up.
Okay.
Just a quick, which spices might go with which foods and how
yeah.
they complement one
another.
And we
could also make that available as a handout if people want to write to us. And
definitely.
We can send it out to them.
And I just saw an advertisement for McCormick, actually, when you said that they, and of course it's all prepackaged, but it's the exact amounts, and they come with the recipe card on the back. So you pick whatever you want. Maybe it's, I don't know, beef stroganoff. I'll just use an example.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed on there, they have individual little cards, and you just pop in the spices.
That's a great idea.
So I haven't seen them. I don't know what they are. I don't know how much they cost.
I suppose if you want to experiment,
maybe
that
if
might
you
be...
wanted to start somewhere, yeah. Like I said, a lot of people don't know how or what. That mm-hmm. might just be a place to start.
And then when you find what you like you can mm-hmm. you can buy your herbs and spices in bulk, which
right.
is very economical.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's take some more calls. Next, we're going to go to a listener on line 2 in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I just had a comment about salt alternatives. Lemon is a good salt mm-hmm. alternative that you can use to spice up your food a little bit. You know, depending on the quantity of food you're cooking, obviously, a teaspoon to a couple tablespoons. So cut out the salt and use lemon. It helps. Another thing that's good with beans, at least, is baking chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, teaspoon to a tablespoon, a little bit, you know, again, depending on the quantity, but it definitely adds a good flavor.
That sounds good.
Just a comment.
Okay.
But the lemon, I think, is a good salt alternative.
Yeah, you know what? There are recipes I know that we've done at home, and it calls for just at the table a squirt of lemon or lime. And
mm-hmm.
somehow or other, it has the right spark to it, and it's very enlivening,
mm-hmm.
if that's the right word to use. So that's a great idea. All right.
I think that brings that was a really good comment by the listener, because I think then you can start looking at things like lemon pepper. Maybe if you want the lemon flavor, too, and you want a little spicier flavor with that, because generally lemon pepper is just dried pieces of lemon or plus
lemon
pepper
peel.
And
mm-hmm.
not necessarily mm-hmm. salt. You got to make sure there's not salt added, but that's a great idea, too, that you get a little punch with something, but not necessarily. You could do fresh lemon and lemon pepper, and that would be great, too.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener in Muhammad on line 1. Hi.
Hi. Hi. I just missed if you said that bay leaves go with chicken and beans so well.
Mm-hmm.
I read a recipe off the internet of supposedly authentic refried beans, and when she cooked the beans from dry, she put about 4 bay leaves in. Mm. And I cut the recipe in half and did it, and it was really good. And I never make chicken soup without 1 or 2 bay leaves, depending on, because it's a gentle herb flavor that doesn't cover up the chicken. It seems to add to it.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because bay leaves really do work well, and that does enhance the flavor. That's the whole thing with trying to find other ways to enhance the flavor mm-hmm. without having to rely on salt, for sure.
Yes, and I've been experimenting also with Indian spices, like West Indian, and even the Mexicans use cumin and ground coriander. And if you're making a stew or a curry or anything, or even a spaghetti, a tomato-based dish, you can put a lot of cumin and coriander seed in, and ground, of course, and it really makes it interesting.
Well,
thank you. I'll listen.
Okay. Thanks for the call
mm-hmm.
this afternoon. Okay.
Yeah, and I think
ideas.
Those are very good ideas. And one thing that the listener just before this had mentioned or asked about, too, with the beans, what else to put in, and when she was saying the bay leaves, too. And the other thing that I sometimes do in cooking beans is, you know, you don't necessarily have to put in a whole big fat back or have a ton of, you know, ton of bacon or something in beans, but even sometimes if you have just a little bit of bacon or a little bit of ham, that's not really that salty or fatty, but it's enough that it adds that flavor. So then you can maybe spice with bay leaves and some pepper and things like that, not necessarily need salt, but still it's got the good flavor, kind of the smoky flavor. So this whole idea of maybe looking at what you're adding to recipes and something that is salty or fatty, just cut that down. So you still get the flavor, and you could add some other herbs to that is helpful.
Another caller waiting for us, this one on line 3 in Champaign. Hello.
Hello. This is Julie Pride. I'm the administrator over at Champaign-Urbana Public Health District.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. I just wanted to say what an amazing resource U of I Extension is, and how helpful you all are, and your website, and just talk about all the wonderful things that you've got going, including Moonwalk, which I hope a lot of people do, and also the gardening projects. We use your resources all the time at Public Health to help further, you know, goals of a healthier community. And I just want to make sure that people know you have a fabulous website and an amazing amount of resources out there, as well as we absolutely love, you know, working with you and some of the projects that you've got going. And CU Fit Families is something that everyone in our community really needs to get involved with.
Thanks for the call. Boy, that
gave me goosebumps. That was so awesome.
Because those are things we want to talk about this morning and before we're out of time. So, Julie, thank you very much for your call. Well, let's start with Moonwalk. People might be scratching their heads and saying, what's Moonwalk? And this is a countywide effort to get us up and moving.
It is, and it's a great way to keep track of your activity and to show maybe days that you don't walk as much or you're not as active as much and you have to make that effort. I know some days where I'm behind my desk quite a bit, I don't get the steps, but when I'm out in the classrooms and I'm out here, I was on campus yesterday, I noticed it was a little bit more. I wear a pedometer. That's how I track my activity. But in Moonwalk, you can do almost any activity you already do. So you can swim, you can bike, you can actually kayak and canoe are on there. So you just keep track of it. You go to our website for the 8 weeks. You can track it daily, weekly. You know, if you're out of town, you can come back and do it later. And we are trying to reach the cumulative miles of 238,700 miles, which sounds like a lot, which is the distance to the moon. And so we're hoping to get as many Champaign County residents or people who can hear us, that's fine too, to join us in this effort. And it actually starts on Friday.
Okay. And so we've got a Moonwalk launch party coming up?
Tomorrow night. I'm getting the final touches on it.
Okay.
It's out at Parkland, and Diane Ducey actually is going to be our MC for this event. She's very proud of her lifestyle change, and so I wanted to support her in that. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be out playing some music for us, and people can actually catch two moon shows by Dave Leake out at Parkland. And so he does this for us the last 3 years, and people can come out just really, it's a kind of like a pep rally to get people excited about it and get people to join in the effort.
Yeah, and you know, this is another thing we talked about, you know, making one meal a week or making a week of meals that are don't feature any processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's something that we can do that's so simple. It's just walking.
It is, and every step counts. And so that's why we changed our motto this year, because I found myself telling people that over and over. No, it doesn't matter. Every step does count, mm-hmm. and it counts towards your health, but it counts towards the race. And you find a little competitive spirit kind of makes you want to walk a little bit more, do a little extra. I mean, even at our office, we call it taking a hike, because we just take a 20-minute lap around our office. So we just get a group of together, and it may be two people, maybe six or seven, and we just walk a little quick lap.
Okay.
So we go over the brook and through the trees, and mm-hmm. I mean, we literally, it's just, and it makes a world of difference to all of us.
Mm-hmm. And so you can get people together and have a team mm-hmm. then to participate in Moonwalk.
You can. It takes five people to be a team. You go to our website, and you actually have a username and a password that you create, and then that's how you get into our website. But it's really good motivation. I have a lady, and she wants to get her and her mom to be a team. And I said, why don't you each get your best friend to do it with you and start a team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is that simple to just ask people to do it. I've got my best friends. I've got my mom. I've got, you know, different people, my coworkers I get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your church group, anybody like that. But all it really takes is one person to say, I'm starting to make a change. Will you help me? And can we help each other?
Yeah, okay. And the Moonwalk launch party is tomorrow. It starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the moon show in the planetarium, and then a 5:30, a pep rally, and then at 6 o'clock, a moon show.
They're the same.
The
we just,
okay.
we actually almost filled up the planetarium, so we have two same shows, just two different times. It's kind of like an open house to come in. Champaign Surplus is actually going to have their model of pedometer for sale, because I find a lot of people really want to make that investment in their life. In their health. And I am hoping to have some students actually be able to help people figure out their stride and then set the pedometer, which is actually something so easy, but it makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also there's going to be healthy refreshments. There will be healthy refreshments at the launch party
there
tomorrow.
Will.
As
Excellent.
Well. Okay. Well, this is Focus, and we're talking today about diet and nutrition, health, and wellness. Listeners, you can join us this morning with a phone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And we have an email message from someone listening. And this individual suggests that we learn to cook,
mm-hmm.
you know, and replace canned or packaged things with homemade fill in the blank. The listener suggests making your own chicken stock, and then you can thicken that with flour or cornstarch. So the listener says, no, I don't spend all day cooking. A person can cook chicken and get several meals out of it, mm-hmm. not to mention a pot of stock.
Yes.
So
that is where we are. I think we need to really get back to cooking. And I have a class tonight on Italian cooking, easy Italian cooking on campus at the ARC. And with the ARC, if you've been over to the ARC or the main fitness center on campus, the campus recreation building next to the football stadium, there's just a beautiful kitchen down there in the basement. And that was an investment that Campus Rec felt that, hey, if we're really going to do wellness here on campus, we need to also be teaching people how to cook. And that's sort of a lot of people come in and use that space and have different mm-hmm. types of classes. And I think it's been really neat to see not just students, but community people be real interested in just learning a little bit of what to do here and there. I mean, that's the whole thing. I tell my athletes at the U of I, if you can get 5 or 6 easy recipes that are really quality that you like, and that'll totally change your athletic career here, because you can have things that you can pull from and easy things that are going to be helpful. So it doesn't take a lot, but it just is being able to.
Yeah. It's like what Jamie did this morning with the kids at school. You know, cutting up that fruit and mm-hmm. saying, well, you can do strawberries, mm-hmm. you can do blueberries, you can do whatever you want, and here's how you do it.
And that's what I do. I don't do any cooking, and mm-hmm. I put quotes here because I don't have stoves in the schools.
Yeah, sure.
I actually can't take, you know, like
right.
blenders or skillets or anything like that in the actual classrooms. And after school programs, we do a lot more of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my most favorite recipes is stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great lesson for kids to wash their vegetables, which ones to choose, which ones to put in. You know, you don't eat this part of this vegetable and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But even peeling carrots,
yeah.
that's foreign. You know, that kind of thing. And that's actually one of the best recipes I like to teach with the kids. And it gets them involved. And I think starting at that young age, I mean, I even go into Head Start classrooms. Just starting that young and getting them excited mm-hmm. about the choices they can make. And they have a big influence on their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I parents say, well, my kid doesn't eat that. Well, how do you present it? You know, there's different ways to present carrots, for example. And so that's how what we try to do is show them that there's all these awesome different ways to get your kids to eat them.
So our guests this morning, Jamie Kleiss, who you just heard, she is the unit educator for health and wellness for Champaign County Extension. Also with us this morning, Susan Kundrat. She's a registered dietitian, sports and wellness nutritionist, and president of Nutrition on the Move. She's also the sports dietitian for Illini Athletics. Let's take another call, a listener on a cell phone on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about protein. A while back, Susan, I believe, said that they're increasing the amount of protein they feel should be necessary for people. I'm a vegetarian, and I just wondered what the new deal is on this.
Okay. Well, our basic recommendation is if you took your body weight and you had 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram you weigh. But an easy way to change that is just to say, take your weight, divide it in half. So let's say if you weigh 160 pounds, divide that in half. So that'd be about kilograms. And then you're going to take 0.8 of that. So, you know, that'd be 80 times 0.8 or 64 grams if someone is 160 pounds, if that makes sense. So take your weight, divide it in half. You can take that times 0.8 and get an idea of what your protein needs are. But the recommendations when you're vegetarian are to increase that by about 10%. So in other words, we're probably needing another, you know, most people are going to need maybe to bump up their protein 10 grams or so when they're vegetarian, just to make sure they're getting enough quality amino acids to build protein in the body. Now, obviously, it depends on what type of vegetarian you are. If you're eating animal products at all, if you're drinking milk or using yogurt or things, it's really not necessary because you're getting these quality proteins in if you eat eggs and things. But if you're totally eating all non-meat or non-animal products, then we recommend maybe an additional 10 grams of protein a day to make up for the lack of protein quality that you're not getting that such high protein quality when you're not eating the animal foods.
That's very helpful, and I really appreciate this show, and I wish Celeste was on full time in the afternoon. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call this afternoon. We've made some changes here at WILL, and they've been kind of tough, but, you know, the budget has necessitated some strong steps, and so we hope that we'll pull through this tough time. And we want to also thank the listeners who have joined us this week in our membership drive with a pledge of financial support, either with a telephone call to 244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Let's take another call now, a listener in Arcola on line 4. Hi.
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 I wanted to talk about just a bean recipe that is, of course, very simple with the dried beans. This would be vegetarian unless you add some ham broth or meat to it. But we do a lot of growing of herbs, and the herbs that we add usually, of course, we add carrots and onion and so forth to the beans, but a lot of lovage leaves.
Mm.
And lovage, of course, tastes like celery, but it has a little more potency, but you don't, and salt and pepper, of course, but you don't miss the meat hardly at all. And I mean, unless you're, you know, putting a lot of meat in. And so I just, the more lovage leaves you can put in, the better it is.
Okay.
And
what?
Lovage is a perennial as well. So it,
oh, okay.
It can come up.
I've never grown
yard.
It.
And the stems can be used as straws with tomato juice.
Ooh.
Delightful.
Okay, what kind of beans do you favor?
Any of the kind of beans. I like the multi-mixture of bean or any of them, but I do like the variety of the look of the, I don't know, there's 12 bean and there's 7 bean or 6 bean combinations that you can get in the grocery store. Of course, I like to add some of our other ones that we do. We do Scarlet Red Runners and also the Purple Hyacinth Bean, which is another one.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I'm going to try that because, you know, that using the lovage, it's very timely because I just came back from a trip last month to New Mexico, and we spent some time at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum. And then I got so interested in how she ate because Georgia O'Keeffe ate very simply, very, natural food, grew almost all of her own food. And she used lovage in just about every recipe. I'm working through her cookbook right now of the basic foods that she ate and the different recipes, and that lovage comes up all the time. So
it's really just wonderful. And, of course, right here in our area, it is a perennial, so that's even nicer. And you can have a whole line of lovage and use it for different purposes. Obviously, you have to let it recuperate, so you know you don't pop it away for nothing. But
yeah.
Well, thanks for that call. That was interesting. I had no idea Georgia O'Keeffe enjoyed lovage.
She really did.
Let's take I think we're going to have another call here momentarily. In the meantime, I think, though, before we run out of time, and time is coming, we're coming down to the end of this hour of Focus this morning. Let's talk a little bit about CU Fit Families. Jamie, I know that you're involved with this. I know Susan is as well. This is a broad coalition of community and campus groups, including Illinois Public Media. And what CU Fit Families is all about is promoting healthy eating and active living in the home, in school, and childcare environments and in the overall community. You want to tell us, Jamie, a little bit about your involvement with CU Fit Families?
This has been one of the best organizations that I think I've been a part of as far as learning what everybody else is doing. But as when Julie called in from Public Health, they were talking about wanting to start these community gardens and locations. And, of course, I spoke up and said, well, we have master gardeners through Extension. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, what can we do with this? And so from there, a partnership was created that we can help get them started. We do a lot with our family nutrition program, which goes out to low-income youth as well as adults and seniors. And so I've told the group about that. Well, as we work on getting better nutrition in child care centers and schools, that's something that we could possibly be a part of and, you know, provide nutrition mm-hmm. education. And it's all just about getting the word out to people that these small changes really do make a big difference. And there's a lot of people that have an interest in this.
Yeah. And if you're online, the simplest thing to do is just to put in into Google or your search engine, CU Fit Families. It stands for Champaign-Urbana Fit Families. And there's a blog. There are a number of resources. The coalition of folks is really impressive. It starts with, the park districts, Carle Foundation Hospital, Mass Transit, Public Health District, CU Schools Foundation, Eastern Illinois Food Bank, UI Campus Recreation, a number of University of Illinois resources. And I don't know about Champaign, I would imagine so, but at the Urbana Free Library, they have a pamphlet available that has a number of resources that people can turn to. These are books that are on the shelf that people can, mm-hmm. you know, just pick mm-hmm. up. Walk over there, put on your moonwalk gear, and walk over to the library and take a look at what they have to offer in terms of healthy food choices. I'm reading from the brochure, Active Living, Shared Family Meals, Healthy Cooking for Healthy Kids. So it's really a tremendous and exciting effort, and we would encourage you to take part, even if you're not in this community. You can find a lot of wonderful information on that website, CU Fit Families. Maybe it would spur people elsewhere in our listening area to start something like this. But mm-hmm. Illinois Public Media has, I'm really proud of this. We've taken a leadership mm-hmm. role here in mm-hmm. this. And I'm going to take one more call, and then Jack Brighton's back with us. So let's go to Fisher, line 2, and we'll have to be quick. Hi. Fisher?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
All I would like to suggest is everybody get dandelion greens right now.
Hmm.
It is.
They're just out.
A food source that is out there in big volumes. And tell me what you think.
Okay. Dandelion greens, any experience?
I think my main experience is using them as tea. My daughter loves to make tea out of dandelion greens. So we have friends
wow.
over and have a tea party with dandelion greens. So that's mostly how I've used them.
So don't, and pick ones that have not been treated.
Exactly.
So you have to be careful where you're picking your dandelion greens.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, let's mention one more time Moonwalk, Jamie.
Moonwalk, if you just Google Champaign County Moonwalk, it will come up. But you can find us on Facebook, too. It's under Champaign County Moonwalk 2010. You can see pictures. We have lots of walks on Saturdays coming up. Sandy Mason, our horticulturist, is going to be doing a tree walk in Urbana. TJ Blakeman from Champaign is going to do a historic Champaign walk. So we have lots of different opportunities for people to get involved, get your friends together. But go to our website, moonwalk.extension.illinois.edu. All the information's there. And also, if you call our office, I'll be there about 15 minutes. You can call and talk to me.
All right. Very good. And I want to thank Susan and Jamie for joining us this mm-hmm. morning here on Focus. And Jack Brighton is back.
Hello.
Hello. Jack is our Director of Internet Services. What have you got for us here?
I got some good news.
All
we
right.
have heard from 17 people just during the first hour of Focus 580 with
Excellent.
Pledges. That's astonishing. We have now reached 500 pledges so far during this week. And by the way, the phone number, if you'd like to join that number of folks, 217-244-9455. Just take a minute now while I blather ahead on the details of this. We have a goal of 1,000 people making a pledge during this week, and we've heard from 500, so we're halfway there. So that's great news. We've raised about $60,000 so far this week. And also, we're giving away this fantastic Chico bag to you if you call with your pledge, 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org. A pledge of $52 for the year, a dollar a week, gets you the Chico bag. It's eco-friendly. People will think, wow, you're really a hero. And they'll see the Will logo, the WILL logo on the side of it, and they'll think, wow, this person is really amazing. They're doing great, you know, as a supporter of the station and somebody who is using a reusable bag when they shop. I mean, really, I get excited just thinking about that.
Yeah, well, and it's so lightweight. This will make Jamie and Susan happy. It's so lightweight. You can just take it with you and walk.
That's right.
To the library.
I do. I carry a bag when we go on these community walks. It's got my water bottle, my keys, my cell phone. It's got in it. And you're kind of a motivator. I'm kind of going to get out of here and go do that. This is great. This bag is great.
It's a great orange color, too.
I know. I've been looking at it.
It holds 25 pounds. And when it's empty, though, it's just like featherweight.
Yeah, it's like nothing.
Okay. So we gotta wrap up here. So let's encourage folks one more time. 244-9455 with a call us with a pledge of support or online at willpledge.org.